Welcome to Movie Banter.
I'm Paul Carenza.
I'm John Sands.
And I'm Jennifer Masters. Hello.
Back with you, baby.
I'm back.
Yeah. You're back from your zombie apocalypse.
Well, absolutely.
Is that where you were last week?
I was feeling a bit peaky.
You're off at the zombie apocalypse.
She was fending off zombies left, right and centre.
Did you kill them?
I did marvellously.
Well done.
I'm still here.
Well done. Yes. So you were at a premiere, weren't you?
I was.
Of a film about zombies, which was relevant.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, exactly. Yes. Yes.
She wasn't actually fighting off a zombie apocalypse.
On the way to a premiere.
Well, ironic.
Either you're on the way to premiere or the zombie was, which is weird.
My little my second premiere that I've ever. Yeah.
What was the first one?
The Lying Down.
With DeVos, wasn't it? Because back in. Oh, so you're not that old.
No.
It didn't work, did it? It was more of just an insult than a joke.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take it back.
So
tell us about the film and the experience of the premiere.
It's a little film called Egad Zombies. It's a short, it's a pilot for a feature, and it is going to Cannes, and hopefully it'll get made into a proper full-length film. But it's quite nice, because it's got a little cameo in it.
Yeah.
By me? No.
But also by
Sir Ian McKellen.
Hey!
I know.
Gandalf fight off zombies. That I may have just had an idea for the best film ever made.
Forget Gandalf zombie. Oh, yeah.
Nice. Brilliant.
I'm pretty sure if they could get the funding, yes, that would happen. Yeah. But maybe not.
Yeah. Wow, very exciting.
I know. He wasn't there, unfortunately. Oh. He was busy performing on stage somewhere else in London.
Ah,
but he's in
that role.
I know. Yeah. So get me all show.
Get you. Egad. Egad, Jennifer. Wow. Good job. Well, I look forward to having you back on as a guest when, you know, we can't afford you every week.
Well, true.
Yeah.
Or else, when Egad Zombie comes out, then you can review it for us.
It's brilliant.
Fair enough.
Great. Marvellous.
Cool. I hope we will be able to see it at some point very soon. But yes, well, we have a lot to get on with this week.
Oh, have we got a show for you?
I say we have a lot. We've got quite a lot.
Well, we've got a few things. We've got lots of emails to get through, so we'll get on to those.
It'll hopefully be a more sensible-sized podcast again. Got some decent feedback for like the 40-ish minute one last
week.
We'll
stick with
that. Which always used to be, and we've just got longer and longer.
Yeah, we got, infusive, is that the word?
Maybe.
Self-indulgent.
That's the fella. Maybe the word. That's the fella.
Yes. But not just self, we're indulging you. It turns out you don't really want
John
4 hours of us.
Turns out only we listen, so it is us, you know.
Well, yes.
So we have topical films such as Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yes.
Titans
and Whip It.
Whoopah.
Yes. Which I always want to go, whoopah.
Of course, that's the Friends thing.
But then yes. I'll just be looked at weirdly, as I am right
Indeed.
Now.
Mm. Plus regular features in this week of movie history.
Yay.
And Desert Island Flicks. This week, we'll be going for Best Volcano Film.
Oh, yes.
Due to the fact that the whole world has been taken over by a volcano, which is called...
There is apparently a video online, which I haven't watched yet, but of all the different news agencies
really?
trying to pronounce it, and all just getting it wrong. I also someone made reference saying, this volcano, which has taught everyone the value of copy and paste.
I can't
think of a single journalist
very
who would have typed
true.
It out by hand.
Very
Mount
true.
St. Helens, you can knock that off. This one, where's another one? Brilliant.
I don't know, that'll do. Yeah. The Icelandic volcano, let's call it that.
Well,
yeah. Isn't it really?
So I think everyone's been slightly affected by people being trapped overseas.
Yeah.
Although far more people... I know your parents, though, they couldn't go on holiday.
Well, no, they were stuck here, they couldn't go.
But I know my sister was tragically trapped and couldn't go back to work for a week in San Francisco. I don't know how she copes, frankly.
No.
I know loads of comedians at the Melbourne Comedy Festival who stuck
until
sort of early to mid-May.
Oh, no.
There for ages yet. So I'll be cleaning up on their gigs. There you go. In your face, Melbourneites. In your face. Melbourne didn't want me, but who's going to be playing Aberdeen for 50 quid next Friday? Yeah. Yeah. Who's the big winner now? Mikey's a big winner. Oh, yes.
Have there been lots of... gig organisers just sort of phoning up saying, oh no, we're missing
we
acts.
There's been a few gigs cancelled, I've heard.
Oh, no.
Because promoters have been overseas for Easter or whatever, so they can't make it. So, no, I don't know. I think there's a bit of
windows you can crawl into people's graves.
Indeed, absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent.
So that's all to come. And but should we do Clash of Titans first?
I think we should.
As they call it in Yorkshire.
Clash
of
Titans.
Indeed.
Yes, I was prepared to view this as amusingly rubbish. Because I'd heard no one really slagging it off, but no one really loving it either. And I thought, oh, it's going to be dire. It is very average, but I liked it more than I thought I was going to.
Well,
but that's starting from quite a low bar.
This is what I was worried about, because I've read a lot of reviews of this film,
yeah.
and they're all rubbish. And I don't mean the reviews are rubbish, I mean the reviews say it's rubbish. And I thought John will see it and he'll think it's all right.
Well, no, it's only just all right. Okay. And also I saw it in 2D. Well, we saw it in 2D.
Yes.
And I think if I'd seen it in 3D, the fact that it would have been a bit darker and £2.50 extra would have tipped me over into thinking, oh, what a complete waste of time.
Really not.
Yeah.
Off.
It would have done, because it was right on the edge. I mean, the first 20, 30 minutes or so, I was thinking, it's just a bit soulless. It's not really. It sort of starts off with Sam Worthington's family being killed by Hades and in a big attack. And I was just thinking, don't really care. Right. Even from the word go.
Yeah.
Then you get to a big scorpion fight, and that kind of won me over a bit. That was quite effective. And so I started warming up to it, but only warming up from a freezing cold viewpoint.
Okay.
So I'm not saying rush out to the cinema and see it. But, you know, as a DVD rental, it's probably not bad.
Okay.
But I don't see it necessarily being a big franchise.
So 3D, big scorpion fight. We're talking like a small independent film here, aren't we?
Tiny. I mean, Ian McKellen is in this as well, doing it for free. And it's just, yeah, very small, tiny production values. Jen's a bit confused, or just not finding this funny.
I'm totally confused.
Yes.
Have you seen the film, Jen?
I have.
What did you think?
Well, actually, I thought it was a little bit random. It was... Yeah, it's got interesting casting to begin with. It's got Pete Postlethwaite as
Sam Worthington's dad.
As his dad.
Okay.
And the thing is, he's also meant to be through the ages. Now, Pete Postlethwaite's got a great face, but he's definitely... You can't age your youth that face. He is who he is.
Very true.
It starts off Pete Postlethwaite looking as he does now, finding a boy in a box who is going to grow up to become Perseus, played by Sam Worthington. And then it cuts to, like, you know, 15, 20 years later. Sam Worthington, huge grown man, strapping hand. Pete Postlethwaite still looks exactly the same.
Of course, of course.
So he's still fishing.
It's not one of those things where you, you know, add a blonde wig or something to him and airbrush his face. You can't airbrush his face. I mean,
no, really.
It's the old problem they had to, is it Lawrence Fishburne, when they put the Matrix on in IMAX?
Saying,
who wants to see Lawrence Fishburne's face with every dimple?
He's not blessed with great skin.
Yeah.
No, but
and so,
that's what makes him great.
Equally, Postlethwaite has got dimples you can crawl through. You know,
he's got a great face, but yeah, it was a little odd. And there was a couple of references to the original film, and I think for me this film suffered from the sort of Tomb Raider syndrome, as in it seems to have levels but no really great particular finale. I mean, they've got a big monster, but the tension didn't really seem to match the end of the film.
I think it's the problem also with any really enormous monster, although having said that, it sort of comes up a bit later on, because we're going to talk about I mentioned it last week, How to Train Your Dragon. That ends fighting an enormous monster, but it's done quite well. But any film where you're fighting something really, really huge gets a little bit... You can't do too much with it, because it's too enormous to have a proper fight scene with.
Yeah.
And it ends up with them fighting against the Kraken, which gets pronounced... I think everyone else calls it Kraken. And then,
I bet it's a Kraken fight, isn't it?
I think Ralph Fiennes is in it, doing basically Voldemort as Hades. Okay. Looking a bit like Bill Bailey, in a slightly weird way.
And he keeps trying to
get the Kraken. And just sounds a bit off. Because I don't know the original at all, really, which I think may have helped.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a remake.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think what I know of the original, it has a degree of charm to it, maybe because of the slightly weak-ish effects. And this doesn't really have any charm. I think Tomb Raider is probably a decent comparison in that if you shut your brain down. That's the thing, it's nothing too offensive. It's not like, it doesn't make sense, it's badly acted. It's all fine, but it's just this constant unshifting averageness.
It's not good enough, then, I think. I mean, if you're going to make
a
blockbuster for millions and millions, which it clearly is,
then
make it better, surely, you know.
And especially with the 3D, which apparently the cost of post-converting a 3D is about $100,000 a minute, maybe more.
Really?
For a big film, can be $30 million. I can't necessarily do the maths off the top of my head, but that, I think that's about right.
Do the maths.
What a minute, 102 hours, 120 million, 12 million, something?
Call it
30, money, whatever. Big money.
Yes,
big
money. But that's a lot to invest in it. And they clearly, they'll probably make their money back, because it's the generic enough film that audience think, this is the big film.
Well, it was number one in the box office.
Yeah, and it'll probably make its money back, but that doesn't necessarily mean it should have been made.
And it's got the right names in it. You know.
Is Liam Neeson in it as well, is that right?
Yes, he is playing Zeus.
Ooh.
With very shiny,
glittery armour. Yeah. Vaguely reminiscent of Superman, or the scenes in Superman, the original Superman, with the Marlon Brando and that sort of rotoscoped, slightly shiny costume. Slightly like that.
Yeah. It does sort of smack of 70s sort of.
Which is kind of fitting.
Well, it's when it, I think it was a
1981.
Yeah, okay, but it was better than the original one.
Yeah.
But I've seen a few reviewers saying, well, those who can remember and you know saw the first version, go, well, that was good. Leave it be. Why make a a charmless version?
Yes.
You've got a perfect.
I have no problem with remakes generally, up to a point. But yeah, I think especially with a classic Greek mythology film.
Mm.
There's a far better film to be made in it than this.
Yeah, if they were doing it from scratch, using mythology, they could have come up with something much better.
Right. Yeah. But...
See, it comes only a few weeks after Legion with Paul Bettany, which sort of came and went in the cinema, really.
Yes.
I don't know, it's not that similar necessarily, but it's, you know, it's sort of celestial angel fights and CGI that sort of didn't quite work. And again, from what I gather, a bit charmless.
Yeah, that's made... Because really the trailer for that, I kind of made me think, oh, I kind of want to see that. And apparently the reviews are dire.
Yeah.
I think worse than the Alpha Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, they were even worse. I mean, it came and went. It was there for a week. Mm. And for a blockbuster, that's not enough, really.
Yeah.
It's just not enough.
I mean, Clash of the Titans very much falls into the... If you see the trailer and you think, I want to go and see that, then you'll probably go and see it and think it's fine.
To be fair, I thought the trailer didn't actually do it. The trailer was laughable. Clash the Titans.
A little Titans will clash.
I mean, that's just
rubbish. That's a 4 in the morning decision, that is.
He's going to go and see that.
We spent all the money on post-converting the 3D. We can afford £2.50 for a pint to get someone to think of a tagline.
What will Titans do?
Clash of the Titans.
Titans will muck about. No, it doesn't sound quite
Titans will wear two colours that don't quite go together. No, it doesn't work. Something a bit shorter.
Ooh, get you. But, you know, if not anything, just laughing at people saying soldiers from Argos.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
for those overseas, there's Argos. There's a chain of retail stores here in the UK called Argos, which works on catalogues, so you generally need to go to shops.
It's not the best shop. No.
Well, it's not. They have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It does what it does. But yeah.
So lots of stuff. If you can't really find it anywhere else, Argos will probably have it. But yeah, there's a scene very early on where you see some soldiers knocking down a statue of Zeus. And someone shouts out, "What's going on? It's soldiers from Argos!"
really?
Expanding their range, like new section of the catalogue, the military section.
Is that... Cue up a till baby down.
Lots of little tiny ones.
They were beer.
So I found it very... And because it comes up all the time, because it all centres around the town called Argos, which is where the princess is going to be attacked, is or going to be sacrificed, comes from. Argos, are we wiped off the face of the map? Where will we get cheap TVs from now?
And I bet all of the British actors now, you know, Postlethwaite, Nice, and Fiennes, they're all...
exactly. Yeah, and because going about casting again, it's got Gemma Arterton in it, who I want to like, and also who I want to find attractive, and don't quite... It's kind of like this film,
attractive.
In a weird way. No, she is. She's superficially attractive, but I've yet to see her in anything that really taps into that.
Mm.
And I think it's there, but I kind of... have yet to quite see.
She's a funny one, because she's made a few very, very big films in that she did Quantum of Solace. But I think she's yet to sort of make her mark. No one quite knows.
She needs sort of a look. The thing is, I did see Centrillions and can't remember her in it at all.
She was the one with the really harsh bob. She's quite a central character, but she doesn't look anything like she does.
Yeah, seeing again might help. But I think she's got potential leading ladiness, sort of.
I think she needs a couple of independent films.
Yeah,
so
but she needs to do a Carey Mulligan.
Exactly.
I've
watch that.
I've seen it interviewed, and I don't know whether it's just because I'm jealous that I want all the parts that she's had, pretty much.
Sorry.
No, not like that. You disgusting.
It's a filthy week.
Blame Paul. He started me down that path.
But I think that she's had it quite easy in a way, and it'd be nice for her to. Because she's still like.
You're saying you wanted to suffer.
No. I just. I don't know. She just seems. It all seems a bit of a laugh and a bit light, and it's not actually. She hasn't really had to try so much.
I can see that.
I like it when actors do a film on, a film off sort of thing.
Yes.
You know, one for the money, one for, you know, the love of it, really.
Yeah.
And exactly. War for the money. But, like, I think I said it before about Shia LaBeouf. But, you know, he's always in blockbuster after blockbuster. And, like, lately Christian Bale's doing quite similar. I quite like it that when... But, you know, even he's worked his way up with it.
Yes,
you know,
he's paid his dues.
He's done some things where you go, okay, now we can see more the real you because you're not hiding behind a mask and covered in CGI-ness.
Yeah.
And,
Anyway,
Clash of Titans is pretty much entirely what you expect. But rather, if you're hoping... It's kind of like the third Mummy film. In that you're hoping for, you know, it'll be brainless, but it'll be fun and action and rollicking, adventure-y stuff. Mm. And it's just not quite as good as you think it should be on that level. But DVD rental, or if you're willing to take a chance, then go to the cinema. But
I won't. But thanks anyway.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Well done for trying to convince me.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure that's...
Well, no, you know what's trying to convince me. You're more convinced than me.
I'm just saying lower your expectations, but see how it goes.
Fair dues.
Anyway.
It is now time for In This Week in Movie History. Doing a little robot dance for no reason. You know how it works. I'll tell you an event and the date. You tell me the movie. Okay?
Yeah.
You've got it by now.
You're only talking to me now, Jen.
64 episodes in. Have you worked it out by now? How we play the sodding game.
I know how to play it.
Good.
I just can't.
Good.
You just haven't learned. Okay.
Now.
I should just cheat, shouldn't I? Just go onto his website and just check
it
out.
That's just learn and evolve. Just revise before you go.
Now, it's not that easy.
Mind you, that's arguably what I've done for my Zara adult life.
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
I've also got a chuch, Jen, that you don't think that's what I do.
So that's
no,
what
I
do.
No, I don't,
which is also quite pathetic.
No, John just knows films.
No, I've just spent my entire life revising films.
How about this, then? How about this one? Okay. If you know this one. I don't think either of you have seen this film, so it'd be interesting to see. April 16th, 2007. A dirty bomb. Ooh, dirty. Exploded in Los Angeles, contaminating the air, forcing citizens such as Brad to seal their homes, even from their significant others.
No, I know.
Quarantine.
No, it isn't. It is. It's a film with Mary McCormack and... Yes. The guy who played Speedle in CSI Miami.
Correct.
But I can't remember his name or the film.
The film is called Right at Your Door. I quite enjoyed it.
Because I wanted to see it.
A lot of reviews were a bit, but I thought it was actually quite good and well done and a little very small little cast, but very good, I thought. Okay, you'll know this one. This is for you, Jen. You'll know this one. Okay. April 20th, 2008. Nick meets Nora.
Is it Nick and Nora's infinite playlist?
Yay!
Infinite playlist. Oh. Sorry.
Well done. Okay.
This is the one thing I'm good at.
April 21st, 1945. Again, I don't think you've seen this, but see if you know. Elise de Vries is arrested as a spy by SS officer Franken.
Nazi shuffle.
Black Book. Really? Well done. Very good.
I was just thinking of wartime films that you probably know quite well.
I'm just picking films I like, and I like Black Book, so Zwarte Boek in Dutch, but if you've seen it.
The Fart Book.
Zwarte Boek.
Oh, sorry.
Racist. April 22nd, 1943, and I don't think any of us have seen this one, so good luck. But you'll know it because there's a clue in it. Okay. Angus McMorrow, which is clearly. Written by someone in Hollywood who's never been to Scotland. Look, Angus McMorrow.
That's what all Scotsmen are called.
Yeah, I've seen The Family Nest. Angus McMorrow finds an egg which would later hatch into a water horse.
Oh, I think it's just called The Water Horse.
The Water Horse. Legend of the Deep. After the colon. Okay, April 23rd, 2006. Sergeant Nicholas Angel moves to Sanford from London.
That'll be... I'm giving Jen a window.
Hang on, say it again.
Sergeant Nicholas Angel, from Sanford to London.
Hot Fuzz?
Hot Fuzz!
Yay!
There you go. Well done, well done. You're doing very well. Okay, a couple more quickly. April 25th, 1918, Thomas Button marries Caroline.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Indeed, well done. And April 27th, 2008, Rob and Beth have a nice day at Coney Island. That's nice, isn't it?
Oh, that's going to be... Oh, that's... Cloverfield!
Cloverfield! Yes! Well done, Jen!
Couldn't remember the name of it.
2 points to Jen.
I think that could have almost been a draw.
And no, there's one more. It's a decider, okay? I think I've got... Listen carefully. Don't answer till the end of it, okay?
Really?
Okay.
That takes all the fun out of it.
April 14th, 1994. The day starts with both Brody Bruce and T.S. Quint being dumped by their respective steadies. Rennie Musier and Brandy Svenning. Rennie starts to date Shannon Hamilton as a way of revenge.
You won't get this.
At one point introduces Rennie to his mother, while Brandy agrees to go on her father's game show, Truth or Date, in place of Judy Dwyer. Brody and T.S. enlist Jay and Silent Bob to destroy the game show stage, but the two are unsuccessful because of the efforts of Lafour, the mall's chief security guard. Brody also has a confrontation with Steve, Dave and Walt Flanagan at Comic Toast during a Stan Lee signing. Shall I continue?
No, please.
Meanwhile, Mr. Svenning and his assistant Roddy try to foil...
We've got limited time for this podcast.
More rats. The thing is, because the whole film happens on one day, so those are all...
Right.
I was just going to read all the events.
Everything
of about 90 minutes of film time. Yeah, so.
When the 24 film comes out, that'll be a good one as well.
Oh, blimey, all right. Good. Well, that was In the Week of History. And so, should we do Whip It?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay,
it's another northern film, all about dog racing.
Exactly. A little dog impression in the background there.
Ah, I see.
What?
Nothing else.
Could almost be true. No.
Could almost be true.
Someone in the background doing a dog impression.
Have you started the review? Sounds like you have.
There's quite a lot of big butch women.
Oh, I see.
That's all.
Well, there was one woman who you thought was a bloke in drag, which is a bit harsh. At the same, because I recognised her from, her name's Zoe someone.
Easy.
Yeah, Jen, because she might listen and write to you being personally offended.
Yeah.
But she was in, no, not saying all people called Zoe.
Good, just checking.
Paul's lovely wife is called Zoe, who was very much female.
Very
but she's a stunt woman, primarily.
Oh, okay.
Who was in Grindhouse, the Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, and she was Uma Thurman's stunt double in Kill Bill. That's
yes.
Right.
Yes, yeah. And she was in the Quentin Tarantino directed bit of Grindhouse. Can't remember the name of it now. I think she's. Mm.
She doesn't look anything like him.
Do you want to tell us what the film's about?
This is Drew Barrymore's directorial debut, which is all about roller derby. I think we probably pronounce it Derby, but in America it's called Derby. I'm quite pleased because it's come up in an episode of CSI New York, I think, or one or two TV shows. Roller derby, this is a thing that happens. But it's only ever been incidental, so never quite known what it's about. And this film is all about it. And Ellen Page.
Oh, yes.
Trying to find her level in life and joins this and loves it. So it actually spells out the rules and how you win and what the point of it is. So, yeah, and the basic premise is you get lots of women on a racetrack on roller skates, and two of them have to try and get past blockers to score points.
Oh, okay.
Under the surface, it's a fairly, almost generic, kind of teenage girl finding her level, growing up a bit, doing something. Disapproving parents who come around, but it's all done very nicely and sort of tweaked interestingly. So you don't. I was being cynical and looking at, that's what's going to happen. That's, and it's all quite by the numbers. But it's done in such an interesting way that you don't really care.
So it seems by the numbers. Because when I saw the poster and the trailer and all that, it looked a bit like you sort of bring it on,
It's not nearly as pretentious as that. Feels believable. Right. Rather than, hey, let's all act this way because this is how we think people should act. It's very much, these are roller derby people, they act like that at times.
Yeah.
And Ellen Page trying to find her level in high school, and it's all quite normal. So it's all a believable world.
But would people enjoy it if they're not 15-year-old girls?
Well,
I think so, because it's not. Because she's going into quite an adult world. They make a point because I think she's only 17.
And it's meant to be, you have to be 21 to actually play the game.
Oh, okay.
Although then you find out that actually, with parental permission, you can do it
if you're younger,
which ends up being quite handy.
Sorry.
It's not too teenagery because everyone else doing it. I mean, it's got Juliette Lewis in it, who says, I'm 36 and I've only been doing this for 5 years and it took me ages to find out what I want to do. And I think she was actually 36 at the time of filming anyway. There's definitely an older female influence. And Drew Barrymore is in it as well, playing pretty much a cameo. Normally being injured in a variety of horrific ways.
Right.
Getting an elbow to the face and then wearing a neck brace and being on crutches, which is just quite funny in a slightly cruel way. It's not especially funny, but it's quite light, but it's not in a bad way. It's slightly hard to define, but I did enjoy it.
Well, part of me has a slight problem, is that I've recently seen the original Rollerball. Right,
that's
got some proper vice in it.
I've still never seen that. I've seen about half of the remake and didn't like it.
To be fair, it was rubbish special effects and everything, but at least it still get a bit more of a sense of tension. Whereas I think with some of these fights, they were good. They were good, and it was quite nicely done, as you say. But I don't think you ever really were fearful that anyone was seriously going to get injured.
This is a proper sport.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be. It's a contact sport. So you're meant to sort of push people over and block them. But you're not meant to be trying to kill them.
Well,
whereas in Rollerball, it's all very much about killing the opposition.
Well, maybe it's not about injury, but it's the tension of it. I think it could have done with a little bit more. And when there's obviously a reconciliation at the end, and it's a little bit, that's nice. But the one thing that really probably got me the most was she encounters a boyfriend, and he's rubbish. He is rubbish. I don't like the character. I don't like the acting. I don't like his stupid music. I just don't care about him. And
you're not a fan, then, is that right?
No. And there's this moment where they have this intimate scene, which just for some reason is in a swimming pool. When I mean in a swimming pool, I don't mean like swimming in a swimming pool. I mean under the water for great lengths of time.
Yes, they do. They do clearly cut out chunks between the scenes where they'd have to come to the dock and go...
Yeah. Okay, and go right.
Which would probably ruin the moment.
I see.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
I think because I didn't like him, I didn't like that
scene.
No,
fair enough. Because I didn't mind that scene. But yeah, he's just... He's a weird mix of being someone who clearly isn't that nice a bloke, but is kind of nice to her, but is also a bit drippy, but also a bit rubbish.
To be honest, I think you're being generous. I think he's just a bad actor.
Well, quite possibly. But I don't have the eye for acting that you do.
He's rubbish.
Here's a question. Now, this sort of film can go one of two ways. It's either, you know, girl power sort of stuff, so it's for the girls, or it's...
it's all about TNA.
Pretty much.
Ogling
the boys.
Ogling the people.
It's for the girls.
It's more for the girls. But as a boy, it's still watchable. It's not too girl powery.
No, it's not a chick flick.
As a bloke, you're watching it just thinking, oh, I'm just bored now. It's not. It straddles the line quite nicely.
Okay. Yeah. So there is straddling.
A little bit of straddling.
Up to a point, yeah.
Okay.
But that's why it's because under the superficial level. It is, you can, well, like Jen said about it, you can see reconciliation at the end and people come around, everyone gets on. So you can see where it's all going.
What?
I thought you were going to say, well, you can see up to the skirt sometimes, the way they have some of the camera angles. Oh, the boys, you know.
No, it's very much as a teenager-friendly thing. No. But not in too annoyingly teenager-y sort of way.
No,
it's very much a girl growing up rather than, yeah, oh, look, a boy smiled at me.
Yes.
It's also got Alia Shawkat in it. Who was Cousin Maybe in
Arrested
Development.
I knew the name, yes.
Yes.
That's right.
And she's quite good at it. She plays the best friend, who's quite sarcastic.
Oh, she's great. They're very, very nice couple.
Yeah, her and Ellen Page just
together
made for
work very well.
Yeah. So hopefully she'll be doing more films. Yeah. Hopefully the Arrested Development film, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
But hopefully just more things. I think she's quite good.
Well,
quite
the cast
natural.
Look good with Juno Page and Arrested Meerkat, whatever they're called. But you know, I don't know names. but you know, it looked like a good cast anyway in the trailer I saw. So.
No, they are. It's probably a slightly weird sell to a lot of people because it may look a little bit too rough and tumble for teenage girls to go and see. No, but it's not really. But it might look a little bit too girly for men to go and see. But I think if you're willing to just give it a chance, then it's a very likeable film.
Yeah. Fair play.
So, give it a go.
Whippawah!
Yes. Now, your emails.
My emails?
Your emails.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, have you been looking through them?
I could read out my emails. They're all quite boring.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Good. We've had some emails. We have. I wonder if we should do this first. It was a tweet thing I put out this week on. We're on Twitter, at Movie Banter. You can find us on Twitter.
And also, actually, just because I'm on it as at Movie Mistakes.
Oh, indeed.
That's my website.
Very good.
And you're on it.
I'm on it as Paul Carenza, K-E-R-E-N-S-A, with jokes and that.
Because that's your name.
That's my name.
Yeah, so I do film mistakes and film stuff, and Paul does jokes, and Jen doesn't use Twitter.
No, sorry.
I'm also on it as HM_the_queen, and that's it. HM the Queen. I'm the Queen on Twitter. I am.
You're looking queen.
At Jen's going to be like, really? I don't know that about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've got about 500 followers.
I was quite impressed.
I just pretend I'm the queen.
It's a weird thing. In the world of
and
Twitter...
And you're wondering why I'm not looking at you like this.
In the world of Twitter, well, for Twitter users, if you said, I'll run an account, I'll pretend to be the queen, that makes quite a lot of sense. If you went home one day and talked to your gran and said, at the weekend, I'll pretend I'm the queen, she'd look at you like you're a lunatic.
It sounds a bit weird to say that out loud. I'm at a realisation in my life now. I want to do some roller derby. No, because what it is, I was there thinking, there's quite a few, like, fake accounts on Twitter.
Yeah,
I don't mean fake as in fake in a bad way, because there are some fake in a bad way accounts, where just someone says, I'm going to pretend to be Pierce Brosnan, and say, I'm Pierce Brosnan, I'm the best. It's rubbish. But there are some people who do some quite amusing, you know, there's a Henry VIII on there, there's George Bush.
I think there's a Hulk on there, which is
there's a Hulk,
insane.
Oh, there's Drunk Hulk.
That's it, yes.
There's some amusing fake ones. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I quite like to do one of those. Who's quite good? And who can I get lots of jokes out of for a long time? I thought, the Queen's quite good. Let's do it.
Having said that, what are you going to do? I feel I should say if, but it's not really case of if. What are you going to do when she dies?
King_Charles. We'll go for it. Maybe I'll tweet from beyond the grave.
Yeah.
But you can follow us on that. It's just, you know, it's a laugh, isn't it? I don't dress up for it.
I bet you do. Well. Put your twin set and pearls on.
I know. So we've had a tweet. We put out tweets on Movie Banter, and one of the ones I mentioned this week was about this Bond thing. I don't know if you heard about this, the fact that, you know, Bond's on hold because of MGM, not quite sure the
going
future of
bankrupt,
that.
Yeah.
So, for some reason, there was this rubbish article clearly plucked out of nowhere, which is basically saying, but if it goes on so long that Daniel Craig doesn't come back as Bond, then who's going to be Bond next, you know? And well, so yeah, they go, well, as far as we're concerned, he's still Bond. You know?
Yeah, he's still... Because it's still... The rights are still held, but is it Eon Productions?
Yes, yeah.
And so... And that's kind of independent to MGM, I think. And Daniel Craig is probably contracted to them because they make this. So I don't think it's all irrelevant, basically.
Well, he's still playing Bond anyway. But the bookmakers doesn't stop them, of course. Well, so they're taking odds. And they're taking bets. And so the odds of being the next Bond, Sam Worthington, 5-2. He's the favourite.
No. I don't mind him. But again, he's a livelier Mark Wahlberg. he's quite bland.
Yes.
But that it kind of works for him. Mark Wahlberg is bland because you feel he's not making any effort.
Yeah.
Sam Worthington is quite more bland, but... Yeah,
a lively Mark Wahlberg is still a Mark Wahlberg.
Well, yes. And also, his accent, it's fine because he's got an Aussie, a sort of quite a relaxed Aussie accent.
Mm.
But in Clash of the Titans, it's sort of meant to be slightly English, a bit neutral, and that slips. Yeah. In Terminator, slips again. So I don't think we can have an Aussie Bond.
He's all right.
No, he could be all right, but he's no Daniel Craig.
Next up, Christian Bale, 7-1.
No.
I don't think he's likable.
No, you can't have
him. He plays quite sinister characters. He does, you know, doesn't he? And I just... No, he doesn't have that charm. Yeah.
You can't be Batman and Bond. Spread that out a bit, you know. Will Smith at 7-1.
No.
Sorry, no. You might as well have Jackie Chan.
can't see Will Smith doing... No. A British accent, in which case, if he's going to be American, it's going to be new action hero Bond.
Well,
you can't have
an American Bond.
No.
And all because Will Smith is sort of too American. He's all American. And in case anyone's wondering, because it's an unspoken thing, it's not even a black Bond issue, because Colin Salmon would have been brilliant as Bond.
Very true.
But unfortunately, he's played other parts in other Bond films, so he can't really do it. But I still hope that he could be a Bond.
Well, I put out on Twitter, I said, any other suggestions? And Sean Jacks replied, saying the only person suitable to be the next Bond is Arnie. Now, I don't quite understand. I think that's gone the other way, to be honest.
Yes,
I don't think he quite understood the question.
Arnie, he's
double the age Bond should be, really. And
he's too old, he's too big. He's the governor of California, and he's Austrian. It's not working.
There's eight reasons, at least.
It's all a moo point, anyway, because Daniel Craig is
still Bond.
Yes.
So, your emails. We've had another email from a new listener. New listener called Callum Reeby. Hey, Callum.
Hey.
Is he new? I think he may have emailed before.
He says he's new, I think. Well, let's read the email.
Oh, sorry.
Callum says, "G'day, guys. I recently discovered your show from the Movie Mistakes website." That'll be yours.
My bad.
another movie podcast I used to listen to recently ended.
Quitters!
So when I saw that this movie site had a podcast, I thought to myself, self? Let's give this one a shot. I like the fact they call it self.
It's kind of talking about yourself in the third person, but not quite.
Exactly.
I start doing that.
Good morning, self. Good morning. Callum says, "I've now gone back and started downloading all of your previous episodes."
Wow. That's
a poor man. And I'm working my way through them a few per day to catch up.
A few per day?
That's
hardcore.
Currently up to episode Johnny 5. Yes, isn't he 5 in? He won't get through the rest of them. He won't. Say that I've laughed out loud more than once during this episode. Transporter 3, Jason Statham tickling boxes without his shirt on. I can't remember the context of that, but I'm sure it sounds funny.
Sense at the time.
Does he mean ticking boxes? Because, like, you know, he's got to fill in a box, no shirt. That's right.
It could be tickling.
In any case, not only did your show...
you don't want to see the hand gestures. Jen was just doing. No.
Not only did your show fill the gap left by the previous movie podcast, but it highlighted an even bigger gap, which now, thanks to you, is filled. The one thing that was not present in the 20 or so podcasts I listened to is Britain's.
Yes, Britain.
It was only after I started listening that I realised all my other podcasts are done by Americans.
Well, there's a lot of Americans online. They seem to embrace podcasts a bit more than we do as well.
I'm a huge fan of British comedy. Listening to your podcast tickled my funny bone in a way that only the British can.
Oh,
we do like tickling funny bones and boxes, apparently, if you're Jason Statham. So, thank you very much. Love the show. Continue to work through the archives. Can't wait for the episode to be posted, which is this one.
Which is this one. And you get mentioned and everything.
There you go. So, tell your friends, Callum, you know, and spread the love.
Yes, please do. Because it's a weird thing trying to plug a podcast, because you can only really plug it within the podcast itself.
Indeed, yeah.
And then people, if they're not listening, so, yeah.
He does give a PS as well. He says, "I know this is a spoiler for the episodes to come, but is Schindler's List still on shelf in plastic at John's house?"
I may not answer that. I might let him wait until he listens to, like, the next 50 podcasts and catch up. Or I could just tell him I still haven't watched it.
Yep.
I don't think it's still in the plastic. I may have unwrapped it. That's step one.
That's good.
2 years later, then step two comes, which is opening the box.
Yeah.
And then there's another eight
we'll
steps.
We'll do a special one, though. You'll know when he's opened it, because we'll have a big party. What Schindler's party?
A Schindler's party. That's a terrible idea.
No, watching thing.
No, too okay, late, though.
Fair enough.
You've blown that window.
Here's a bit of good news, though. Uh-huh. There was no virus found in that email.
Oh, that's so, good.
That's good.
I could use to copy and paste that into
I accidentally copied and pasted that bit, so I thought I might as well spread the love.
Well, it's worth knowing.
No,
so, good. Listeners, you haven't caught anything from us reading that.
Exactly.
In case you were wondering. It's all right. You can put the tablets down. You're fine.
Exactly. Email from Johan. Hey, Johan.
Hey, Johan.
Hello, Johan.
Johan says, I really appreciated your review of the film Kick-Ass. It was spot on. Really like the animated comic-looking part, which was drawn by John Romita Jr. Fudd explained one of the more boring parts of the film as well, and kept it interesting. Really loved Chloe Moretz's performance in it. Oh, yeah. She is way worth the mission ticket. Parents over here are worried that after seeing the movie, their kids will want to become superheroes. First of all, it's not a kid's film. And secondly, the same is likely to happen watching Spider-Man or Batman. So,
yeah.
There you go.
No, entirely. And that's the main thing. It's not a children. It's rated R for a reason. If parents say, oh, go on then, little Johnny, off you go to see the film, age 12, then it's a bad parent.
Indeed.
Or, well, sorry, not bad. If you know your child can handle it, then all well and good. But anyone just saying, my child can't handle it, then don't let them go and see it. Ta-da!
Exactly. He also says, I also like what you've done with your website header. Those drawings are spot on.
Oh,
awkward
yeah.
smiles for all.
Awkward smiles.
Now, I've no idea what the website header is.
The picture is a friend of mine called Izzy Lawrence.
Oh, that one. Oh,
yes,
I put
that on the website.
Oh, because we have awkward smiles on the picture. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably
yes.
What it is.
No, not awkward smile. I'm hoping not awkward smiles having seen the picture. Yes, just us having.
See, I thought what he'd seen was one of those adverts with all the smileys on. You know.
Oh, see.
And he was just thinking that was our new header. Awkward smiles.
No, I think the website is advert free actually.
There you go. There's a good reason to go.
Oh,
there.
Oh yes, hang out there and avoid adverts.
Johan says, I also wanted to recommend the film A Prophet, which is easily the
yes.
best crime film I've ever seen. That's quite acclaimed.
I thought that was a shoe-in for the Best Foreign Language Oscar, but then didn't get it.
Yeah. No, I do want to see that, very much so.
Yes. Actually, think about Kick-Ass, I bought the comic of Kick-Ass originally, which is finally out in the UK. And it's weird, there are one or two different... For the sake of argument, say there are kind of 10 major differences between the book and the film, and about half of them are better that the film's done something different, and about half of them I think they should have kept from the comic and used in the film.
Well, it's softened the way.
Mm. So, but it's kind of interesting. The film ends in a slightly more Hollywood-y way, whereas the comic is slightly darker. But yeah, it's definitely worth a read if you're a comic book kind of reader. Also had an email from Chris Sands, who, as you may wonder, is a relation to me, namely my cousin. So he said he feels slightly celebrity-like after mention on the last episode. Gene Hackman, two other choices would be The Conversation, very true, or The Royal Tenenbaums.
Didn't really get it myself.
He said, always quality over a huge period in cinema. That is true. He's got to be...
Right.
Is he still going?
Anyway, he retired. His last film, I think, was Welcome to Mooseport.
Fair enough.
What a way to send off that career.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's a long, long old career he's had.
So today...
If I read something rightly, today, the day we're recording anyway, is Jack Nicholson's birthday.
Oh,
he's about 73.
Happy birthday, Jack. I'm not
listening. Yeah, and he's another great longevity-ness ridden person. He's old, that's what I want to say, but he's had a very long, good career. Also had an email from Jed. Hello, Jed.
Hello.
Saying hello, Banter Crew. First off, liking the length around 40 minutes. Well, we'll try and do that. I think we might just about do that today as well. Listenable duration works very well. You also had to Train Your Dragon in 3D. And my review is as follows. Looks stunning. Beautiful animation brings a stylized Viking village to life. Every detail, from Stoic's impressive beard to the scales on the dragon, is vividly realized. That is very true. It's a gorgeous-looking film. Toothless is given very expressive liquid eyes, dilate and contract, convey so much emotion. The film is also very kinetic. Bro's beautiful camera work makes it feel more like a live-action film. The action scenes are great as well. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I like the word kinetic.
Yeah,
it is.
I haven't seen the film, so I can't really comment on it.
Oh,
so
you should
see it. I like the word kinetic.
But you've seen
kinetic.
The review, and you like the word kinetic.
I like the review,
Yeah, fair enough. 3D is used to full potential here, giving great depth to the already lovely landscapes and fleshing out the characters. Pulls the audience in, especially sequence of dragons in flight. Most of all, it makes the characters much more real and relatable, which is the greatest way 3D technology can be used. I think that's true. Adds an extra depth perception to it all. Toothless is the most adorable creature, comparable almost to Pixar's lovable robot Wally, probably the cutest dragon one ever will see. And yet also with an edge of threat to him, because it's not just a cute cuddly dragon, slightly lethal. In the end, it's a bit of a surprise, considering this studio always plays second fiddle to Pixar. But hopefully, signs of things to come.
Yeah, would be nice.
And also Jed's favourite Gene Hackman film, quite likes Enemy of the State. No, that's true. And it's brilliant in The French Connection. Excellent also opposite Denzel Washington in Crimson Tide 2.
Very true. Very good in that. That was his sort of golden years, I would say. Really.
No, that's true, yeah.
Yes. This was, of course, for Desert Island Flicks, which we did last week.
Yes.
On Best Gene Hackman Film. This week we've got Volcano Films.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so feel free to email in your volcano thing.
Indeed, your volcanic favourite.
Incarnations.
Which we are coming to now.
Let's do it now, baby. Let's do it now. No time like the present. We had a couple of other emails, so if we haven't read it out, we will next time because we've been swamped this week. Emails. So, but keep them coming. podcast@moviebanter.co.uk.
Yes. And check out the website, which is moviebanter.co.uk. Exactly. Which has mostly this podcast posted on it. Indeed. But occasionally other bits and pieces.
And news and stuff as well. Yeah. So that's all good. So, yes. Volcano films. Ooh. Wow.
Well, see, because there's the obvious ones, like Volcano. Yeah. The answer's in the question, really. But Volcano isn't especially good. Really.
Dante's Peak really beat the it was better than Volcano, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, a little bit. It's kind of like the Armageddon and Deep Impact sort of thing, except both slightly lower down the scale.
Yeah.
Volcano was just a bit... Did have someone, melting in lava, kind of jumping off into the... Yeah. Ooh. But, no. So I'm going to go slightly left of centre and go for You Only Live Twice.
Ooh, yeah,
which is a definitive Bond film in a big fake volcano.
A volcano.
With a big huge metal sliding roof.
Yeah.
which ultimately everyone wants.
If you want a volcano.
Who wouldn't want to live out in a giant hollowed out volcano?
Indeed.
It would be very warm. That's not my natural habitat.
Oh, you're rethinking now, aren't you?
Yeah. Mind you, but then at the same time, think of the air conditioning unit you could install in it. All that space would be fine. And geothermal power.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking this on the fly. I'm not planning out my own
volcano.
I'm thinking
of all that, really. Yeah.
I know, I'm just... Yeah, I should get out more. But yeah, so You Only Live Twice. Yeah, okay. A Bond volcano.
Apologies, by the way, speaking of volcanoes, if you heard that plane go overhead, because I think you did because the microphone vibrated, then clearly planes are flying again because, that volcano stopped.
Airspace is open.
So apologies for the noise. And also apologies if the sound's weird this week. We're on a different computer. So,
yes, we had sound issues.
Technical problems. But normal service will be resumed if I buy a new computer. Jennifer.
Well, I think you just mentioned it. I'm going to go for Dante's Peak. If I was thinking of a volcano film, that was the one that I thought of. And it's, Pierce Brosnan, probably at one of his peaks as well.
Brosnan's Peak.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
I think I've said, really.
It's smaller scale than Volcano, but still, in a nicely compact way.
Yeah, well, I think I'm left with two choices. Either Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, which is basically a spoofing You Only Live Twice.
Yeah.
Or I think which I'll actually go for, which is Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Well, yes.
You put on the two together, Spy Who Shagged Me.
I don't know. One's a lot funnier than the other one.
Well, true. Gollum's a hoot, isn't he?
Well, it's true. Those orcs, brilliant timing.
But of course, not only, it's not just like a volcano, because a lot of films have, a lot of films have got volcanoes in. Not as many as you'd think, to be honest.
Turns out relatively slim pickings on the volcano front.
The Hangover, that deleted scene about a volcano, but show it. But no, but it is in Return of the King. But what I mean is it's actually, rather just being in the background, Mount Doom is kind of
a very big
thing.
Yeah.
Don't want to ruin it, but, that's sort of maybe where the ring might end up. Yeah. So, it's good. That was Elvish, was speaking. Uh-huh. No.
I could see that coming.
Too many jokes in one there. Sorry, let's move on. This is that crazy British sense of humour that Callum was talking about earlier.
See, we're trying too hard now.
Which Callum is now switching off from. So I'm going to go for Lord of the Rings.
Oh, fair enough.
There we go.
So there you go. So let us know your volcanic films, and we will read them out next episode, which will be in 2 weeks, probably.
Indeed.
I think that means a lot.
That's your lot. That's your lot.
We now need to go and perform and play.
Indeed, we're all doing a show. We are a third of the cast, really, aren't we?
That is true, actually.
Yeah.
They need us.
Yes. Like a hole in the head.
Exactly. It's a very, very serious play.
Well, yes. It's a ridiculous play.
I'm playing Inspector Dart. John's playing Dribbles the Manservant. And Jen's playing Penelope Fothergill Anchovy.
Yes.
So I think it shows how serious this play really is.
Yeah, it was written by a teenage Paul when we were at school. And we're now going back to our old school to perform it.
Revisit.
If they let us in.
Well, yes. Very weird. Revisiting our old haunts. Except now they've got like TVs and screens and high-tech things and lifts
it's crazy, isn't it?
And a proper theatre.
Well, yes, as opposed to performing in a small box.
In fact, in the programme for the play tonight, I've mentioned the podcast.
Oh, yes.
So if you're listening because of that, hello!
Oh, hello!
Yes. Hope the play went well.
Yeah, this is us recording the morning of the play. So sorry if we've got our lines. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Fine.
Also, I met some guys at Butlin's last week doing the Spring Harvest Festival.
They
said they might listen. So, hello, if you're listening. Drop us an email. podcast@moviebanter.co.uk. Let us know you're out there.
Yes. Right, good. I think that's a lot.
That'll do us.
Hope you're all well. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.